Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul with your host, Dr. Valerie N. Parker, businesswoman, author, speaker, and life coach. Dr. Parker is the president of Arise by VMP, which is a speakers bureau and public relations company. She is also the visionary and founder of the Soul of a Woman Foundation that brings awareness to domestic violence and children living in single-parent homes. Hot Topics from the Soul is a virtual lifeline to the community, discussing social and political issues, relationships, finances, motivation, and inspiration. For information regarding products, services, and resources, visit www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. That's www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I now present to you your host, Dr. Valerie Parker.
Good evening and welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul. It is 2016. I have my co-host, Shirley Carter. Shirley, are you there?
Good evening. Welcome to 2016. I am so excited about this year. I'm just like full. Can't wait to, you know, embrace our audience and to everything that we have in store for 2016. So get ready, 2016. We're kicking the door in.
Yeah, you know, I had an exciting New Year's Eve myself. I had to speak at my church, the Faith Center, where Bishop Henry Fernandez is the pastor, and that was indeed an experience. So it was just an answer to a confirmation to the word I had gotten in December saying that I was going to go out and be speaking more, which I've been fighting, kicking, and screaming for the past 15 or so years. But I am ready to release, let go, and let God. And I had the opportunity of meeting this young man a few months ago called Kurt Thomas, and he connected me with this phenomenal queen. Shirley, I'm telling you, when I read her information or even talked to her, it was like looking in the mirror. Our lives were so parallel that you think she was talking to me. Her name is Angela Carr Patterson. She is CEO and president of Oasis Promotions. Angela, are you there?
I am, and happy New Year to you and your listening audience and to Shirley. Thank you for having me here.
Thank you.
I am so excited. You know, you said, wake up, it's 2016, time to shine. That's one of your signature messages, time to shine. And I tell you, I can feel you shining through the phone. It is just so amazing. It's like I could just reach out and touch you, my queen.
Yeah, exactly. I feel the same way. Such a kindred spirit and sister connection. Yeah. Definitely.
And then when you told me you knew my brother, too, he pastors a church in Columbia, South Carolina, I was like, wow, small world.
Small world. Isn't that something? A small world. Been knowing him for over 30-plus years, yeah.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, that's my big brother. We're about 11 months apart.
Okay. Yeah, you guys are real close together.
Yeah, and then 8 more followed, so we
wow.
There's 10 of us.
Wow. Big family. I always wanted a big family.
Well, Angela, you know, you're the CEO and president of Oasis Promotions. Tell the listening audience what that is.
Well, Oasis Promotions is a professional and personal development company. And our goal is to build new and inspired leaders and entrepreneurs for the purpose of promoting transformation and change in the workplace, the community, the media, and the world. And we provide resources, training, coaching, consulting, workshops, and events. And they're designed to enrich, entertain, and equip and empower leaders to use their success to create massive change in the world. And we work primarily with women. Of course, we have some brave men that will join us. But it's because we believe that studies show that when women are successful, that they tend to put back and give back and contribute back into their communities on a large scale.
Excellent. Now, when you created this business, how was it that it came about?
Wow. Well, Shirley, for 23 years, I was in the entertainment industry. I had a performing arts center where we taught music, dance, drama, and modeling, and I was a talent agent. And so I kind of, you know, traveled around the world, around the country. I worked for Star Search and was a Southeastern scout for them. And so I was in the entertainment business for a good little while and was launched a lot of careers in the industry. And one day I had been sensing something, had been trying to get my attention. And one day I went into my office, and we call it the Dream Center. We went into the Dream Center, and I knew then that journey was complete and it was time for something else to emerge. And that was in 2007. And we actually closed the center that day, actually, and launched the Women Empowerment. We launched a women's conference. That was August of 2007, and in November 2007, we launched a women's conference in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And so it's been going in that direction. So we actually changed Oasis Promotion and geared it toward women empowerment and professional and personal development. So sometimes you know that it's time, that someone is trying to emerge through you, and it's we have to allow and stop resisting, because when we resist, we create more struggle.
And that was a question I was going to ask you, Angela, to transition from entertainment to women empowerment, that somewhere along that line during your entertainment stitch that you were feeling something, or did you have a conversation with someone, or you saw a need that was unmet for you to transition into women empowerment and doing conferences? Was there something that happened along the way?
Well, throughout my career in the entertainment, that's what I really did with the models and the talent. I was empowering them, helping them to tap into their identity and their true purpose and developing their skills. And I could remember being on music video sets out in California, and the director ended up putting me a seat next to him because I'm in there empowering, inspiring all the performers on the set. So I've been doing this all my life, just didn't know what to call it. And so I knew I used to have workshops for the mothers, the parents of the kids that I repped. And through that, I was doing women empowerment at the time. And I really saw a need. I saw, and I still see, I can look into a woman's eye. And even women that have accomplished a lot and have done very well, and yet you look into their eyes and you still see that there's a sadness, that there's an unhappiness, an unsettling, because they've been choosing who they've been programmed to be instead of choosing who they really were born to be. We become conflicted, you know, moving in those directions. And so that was what I saw, and I knew it was time to do something.
Wonderful. And with your conferences and everything, tell me a little bit about that. Is it a conference that anyone can come to, or is it someone that's looking to be an entrepreneur and you help motivate them to go to the next level? What is the base of the conference?
The conference,
Empowering.
We had, it's called the Love Experience Conference, and there were three things.
What did you call it?
The Love Experience. The Love
Oh,
Experience.
Oh, my God. I told you, we have walked so many different things. Girl, you know, for years, for almost 10 years, my ex-husband and I published a newspaper called The Love Express.
No.
Wow.
Yes.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
Oh,
you
wow.
Need to, you
we
need
keep,
to stop
we
copying
keep finding,
off of
I know,
me.
I know. We just keep finding all these similarities. Well, the Love Experience was basically for the women to come for an entire weekend and experience unconditional, wide open, pure love. You know, I believe that we've got to first love ourselves. And we say that as a cliche, but for someone coming from where I came from, I didn't know what love looked like. And so I wanted them to experience that. So the first night we created the space, created that container for transformation. You know, when the butterfly is in the cocoon, that container has been created for the transformation. So the first night, that's what we did. We did with music, we did with spoken word, and we also had some open panel discussions. We had a pajama party, so we got really intimate and talked. And so we created that space and created a level of sacredness and safety. We created sacred contract agreements with each other that what we shared would stay there. And then the next day we got into the teaching, and I wrote a theater piece entitled A Lost Cry in the Dark. And it really, you know, that's my art side coming, you know, the music, the drama, and I use my former students to perform the dances and the music. And we wrote a song, actually wrote a poem called The Revival of a Love Story. And the incredible Sherry Marie, who's a international singer and songwriter, she took it and she turned it into a beautiful song. And she and a friend of mine, Morris Pleasure, who produces for everybody, Michael Jackson, David Foster, everybody, and they created this beautiful theme song, The Revival of a Love Story. It starts with you. And so for that weekend, that's what the women walked away with, reclaiming, redefining who they were, reclaiming their worth, and rewriting their own love story. So that's what the love experience was about.
Wow. Excellent. You know, one of the things I liked in just listening to you again, mirroring, is the fact that when I did my very first retreat, it actually was a pajama party. We did the event, and that night I had personal development during the day, and then that night we did a pajama party where we were able to like pull off the mask and communicate what was going on in our lives, a time of sharing and bonding, and we got up and we listened to old school music, and because back then everything was carefree, everything was free, we didn't have any children, no husbands, no heartbreaks at the time, so it was a peaceful time. So it, and then after that, when the women went back home, their husbands were saying, we want in on this. So the second year on, I've been doing it for 9 years, this will be my 10th year coming up. We've done the retreat, but we've included the men, and I have a rap session for the men and women separately where they get a chance to actually talk about what's going on in their world, and, you know, it, as a joint effort, they come together and come up with solutions. And whatever, you know, like they say, whatever goes on in Vegas stays in Vegas. Well, that's how we do the retreat. Whatever goes on in those rap sessions,
that's
where it stays. And it has become such a healing process for so many that have come over the last 9 years. I can't begin to tell you. And every year I say I'm not going to do it because it's just such a financial strain, a financial burden, and what I charge, it doesn't meet the expenses.
Right.
But, you know, my sponsorships are what help me to be able to continue to do it. But to make it affordable for those that really need it, because my foundation, The Soul of a Woman, is for bringing awareness to domestic violence. And a lot of times, you know, the individuals that come to the retreat is not necessarily because they've been abused physically, but they've been broken emotionally.
Yeah, absolutely.
Both men and women.
The men. I think that's just awesome that you included the men, because there has to be a seat at the table for them. We cannot discuss women empowerment. We can't discuss that without bringing them into the conversation. So I think that's awesome. So we did the conference for about 7 years, and in 2013, I knew that it was completed because there was time for me to get out and share more. Little did I know that that was the end of 2013. Little did I know that I would be speaking somewhere almost every month from all of 2014, and it happened again this year in 2015. I'm just waiting to see if we're going to do it this year. I'm not sure, but it was a great run. We moved it from Myrtle Beach to Atlanta. The last 3 years were held in Atlanta.
Okay, talk about time to shine, what that means to you, and what how you relate that out to your listening audience.
Well, you know, I think for most women, as I said before, you talked about the mask, and I used to talk about removing the mask as well. I talked a lot about that. In fact, my first book I wrote, I'm Not That Woman, there's a face, like a mask, on the front cover. And it's about peeling off the layers. You know, we hold a space for everyone else to shine, Valerie. We're filling everyone else's cup, but who's holding that space for us? And I truly believe that when we immerse deeper into who we are and let go of the layers that don't originate from us, the layers of motherhood. You know, I realized, I had a defining moment, and I realized that I was born to be more than someone's mother, okay? I really realized that, and some women would say, well, that's a horrible thing to say. No, I want my adult children to not just see me as mom. I want them to see me as a woman, as a human being. And so, because I've weaned them from that breath, and so I now am more than just a mother. I was placed here to be more than a mother. I had to find out what that was and what it looked like and what it felt like and what would that mean for me. And so I immersed deeper. And as I did, I was able to come up and emerge as the woman that I was born to be. And there were many facets and many layers of me. And once I understood what my purpose was, no longer being moved in the direction of what I was pulled to do, but now moving in the direction of who I've been called to be, and that is to shine, to have a big light, to wake up my life, to awaken unto the truth of who I am, to awaken my life. And as you awaken your life, it creates for you infinite possibilities of abundance, of love, of success, of health, of joy, and begin to spread that by shining that light into those dark places. You know, you walk into a dark place and you can just have a pin light. You can see it. And it's time for us to stop hiding. We hide as women by busying ourselves in the realm of service. You know, if I organize my life around helping everyone else, and that's a good thing, that I'm serving here at the church, I'm serving here at the shelter, I'm serving here on this board, then we don't have time to look at ourselves, to shine that light on ourselves. I can organize my life and hide and still think I'm doing good. But once you begin to shine that light on yourself and look at those things and release the things that no longer serve you, the patterns that you are, patterns of behaviors, patterns of thoughts, belief systems, and cut out what I call cut out the BS, the belief system, and move forward, then and you'll begin to ascend. I call it woman rising, and shine that light, and people will follow that light. They'll follow that light. So we've got to wake up. It's time to shine. Our communities are suffering. Our children are suffering. And we got to keep going, and we got to keep moving. Even we've got to believe in the importance of what we're doing in the absence of the evidence that is making a difference. We still got to do it.
Mm-hmm. It's 2016. What would you say to not only women but the men that are tuned in to this radio show wanting to know how to get started? Because that was one of the things that as I was delivering the message for 2015 Transcending, that people that went through a whole 365 days and they did nothing because they didn't know where to begin.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to them?
Well, you start with what you have. Remember, God, Moses said God called him to go to Pharaoh, tell him to let his people go, and Moses offered all these excuses, and God said, what's in your hand? So you look at what's in your hand. You start with what's in your hand. For me, when I started my company 31 years ago, I was in my first marriage, and it was a horrible marriage. And I wanted to do something because he didn't want me to work. So what I did was I started a little charm school in my living room when he would go to work on a Saturday. And my girlfriend was the lookout girl. She would stand at the door, and I'd teach the classes. And the way we got the students were we made stick people on construction paper because that's all I had. And we copied, she copied it at her job, and those were our flyers because I used what was in my hand. You got to use what's in your hand. Your money, saying you don't have enough money, you don't have enough support, is no longer excuses. Those are juicy excuses that are reasonable and justifiable, but they're designed to keep you stuck. So first of all, use what's in your hand. And second of all, tell the truth to yourself about yourself. The truth is that you're not broken, you're not damaged, you don't need to be fixed, that you are a remarkable, amazing, magnificent, divine masterpiece that's fit for the master's use, and that you come with bundles of gifts in this planet, and you are here to heal, to uplift, to inspire, to give, to contribute. And if not you, then who? And if not now, then when? So and if you don't, then some people can't, because there are some people out there that only you are meant to serve, and they're waiting on you. So if you don't, they can't. So you have to. It is a must. And there's a cost for this, but we are willing when the why is big enough. We've heard it. When the why is big enough, the how doesn't matter. So number one, use what's in your hand. Number two, tell the truth to yourself about yourself, that you are worthy, you're good enough. And number three, what is your why? What is your compelling why? What gets you up in the morning and keeps you up at night? What is that that drive you, that fuel you? What's the fuel source? Has to be more than money. Has to be more than any material thing.
Well, I know one thing. We can never be on a stage at the same time. That's all I know.
Because we'll be talking the same
stuff. We're booked to speak at the same conference. You know, we can't be on the stage at the same time because we be saying
the same stuff.
Same exact thing.
I would even go further, ladies, and say, no, you cannot be booked on the same conference. It would be a repeat.
Like, did we just hear her a minute ago?
Right.
Oh,
wow.
This is mad crazy.
It really, I mean, it's refreshing, though. Because what I'm hearing is you both are really solidifying each other as two powerful women. And to hear, you know, your walk and everything, and as I listen to Angela speak, you know, it is so empowering to hear you talk about the steps that you took to get to where you're at. And then the fact is that you're not only step there yourself, but you were willing to reach back and pull other women with you that are willing to make that step. And you also give them something to think.
Yeah.
Think about, where do you really want, you know, that why? Why is a small word, but it has so much power.
Yes.
Because when you answer that why, it could change your life, really. If you're going in the wrong, in a direction that you really don't want to be in. But it's that small voice inside of you that's been telling you where you need to go. But when you finally stop and say, I need to answer why. Why am I here? That is so powerful.
Yeah, but the problem is people focus so much on the how that it cancels out the why.
Mm-hmm.
And when you spend so much time trying to figure out, okay, how am I going to be able to get the finances to do this, and how am I going to get people to buy into what I'm doing, how am I going to get the building that I need, how am I going to begin this book, I don't know where to start, everything is a how, and it cancels out why, the urgency for you to do it, not realizing that once you come in alignment with the assignment that God has for your life, you won't have to worry about any of that because the world would then beg for what you have.
Absolutely.
So when you get people into that mindset of waking up out of their slumber, waking up out of their sleep, then, you know, like you said, they can shine. They can come forth as the beautiful kings and queens that they are. But we buy in so much to the can't and get stuck in that.
That's what I call the BS, the belief systems, and we have to deal with the belief system. We do. It's not that they're real. They are real. You know, my belief system said that I wasn't good enough. I was a fatherless daughter, so I grew up without my father being there. My mom and dad were married, and they separated when I was when she was pregnant with me. She moved back to South Carolina from North Carolina. And so you get your identity from your father. And for years...
Now, you're the only child?
No, I have three older brothers, much older than I am. But you get your identity from your father. And so by my father not being there, he came to see me when I was 3 months. I saw him again at 7 years old and didn't see him again until I was an adult and I went looking for him. But you're that missing element out of a woman's life when you don't get your identity, when it's not solidified. You see, your pain will never heal until you heal your misplaced sense of identity. So we're walking around pregnant with pain, and we don't understand that this pain is creating the patterns of behaviors, patterns of thoughts, patterns of beliefs. These beliefs says that I'm not good enough, that I'm not worthy, and I wonder where they came from, because I'd always thought of myself as a confident person. But when you go deeper, because see, this stuff is hiding in your blind spot. It's a muted pain that sneaks up on you, but it'll show up. Let a man get you on the wrong side. It'll show up. You'll go from 0 to 60, because with a fatherless daughter, that's an unexplainable rage. And it shows up, and there's no logic to the rage. There is, you can't rationalize. And then with the women, once it's done, it's just like, wow, once that episode of that break comes, you're like, what happened? How did I get so angry? I used to think that it was a personal failure on my part, that I struggled in my life. I struggled in my relationships. I struggled with relationship with money, relationship with men, because those are two areas that really get a fatherless daughter stuck. She could make good money. I could make good money. I just couldn't keep it. You know, with my marriage of 16 years, it was always a rocky marriage. And even after my divorce, when I started dating, it was rocky. And I said, whoa, let me look at this. Where is the struggle coming from? And I was able to retrace it back to my father-daughter relationship. And this is not about blame or accusing anyone. This is telling the truth to yourself about yourself. And it was clear that I didn't know what love looked like. And if the girl does not have that relationship with her father, the father has to make it clear that he loves her unconditionally for who she is, that he approves of her. He begins to lay that healthy sense of self-love, worth, and value. If this doesn't happen, and if she sees any rejection or any withdrawal, any emotional coldness from him, he's not available, does not provide for her needs, her provisions, her protection, doesn't give her his presence and his praise, then her sense of self-worth will be tainted, her self-confidence warped or non-existent, and she begins to feel rejected, unwanted, and unloved. And there begins the making of a fatherless daughter. And that was me. And there's a lot of work, studies, and research about the effects of being fatherless. But for me, it showed up in my relationship with men and my relationship with money. But if you talk to any woman any length of time and she start complaining, it boils down to a man and some money, because nothing causes us more grief at bay than a man and some money. So so it was about me retracing my life beyond my mother's womb in order to find my identity, because I didn't get it from my father. So I had to have something of substance to identify. Now, for me, that was God. And from then, when you have your identity, then you align your thoughts, your beliefs, and your actions with your identity. Because when you believe that you're whole, you believe that you're lovable, that you believe that you're wanted, you believe that you are good enough, then your thoughts and your actions will begin to align with that. So we don't have a behavior problem in school with kids. We have an identity crisis. And that's where I had to start, retracing my life beyond my mother's womb, because my pain wouldn't have never healed if I didn't heal my misplaced sense of identity. And that's what I teach women and men, because that is what will help you find your G-spot, your genius, your greatness, and your gifts.
Oh, I love that. I guess I have to borrow that.
We've got to find our G-spot, That's our genius, our greatness, and our gifts, our bundles that we bring to the world.
Now, when you transition from that first marriage into the marriage you have now, how difficult was that transition of you trying to rediscover who you were and then identifying why and how you wound up in the situation you found yourself in? Because, see, with me, when I got out of my marriage, I was married for 19 years, mm-hmm. I just, you know, for the past, say, for 16 years, I really was focused on my career. Did you do that, or did you just, you know...
Well, I did. Well, when I first was divorced, I really was truly trying to figure out. I didn't have a plan B, so I was trying to come up with my plan B. And so, for a while, I focused on my children, of course. And then I realized I was hiding behind the children. You know, hiding behind the children, because I wouldn't date. And I remember a guy telling me, "When are you going to stop using your children as an excuse?" And so, because I was afraid that, you know, maybe I was going to fail again and all of that. So I stuck my toe in the water and started dating. And I'll tell you ladies the truth, I was going to hurt somebody's son out there because they had too many games out there for me. So I just tucked my little tail and came on back in the house for a little while. And I began to do some real deep work with myself. And so before I met this husband, so I was single for almost 9 years. And I remember a friend telling me, he said, "Your husband will find you on purpose," meaning you on purpose. While you're on purpose, that's how he'll find you. And I truly believe that, because I have a saying that there's nothing more beautiful and more radiant than a woman who has awakened unto her the truth of who she is. And so that's what I began to do. When I did that, I began to attract a different kind of man, and in walked my husband that I have now. And I was so on purpose, Valerie, that I almost didn't recognize who he was. And we developed a really good friendship that blossomed into a love story. We met in February, and we were married by December. And so he truly is my divine right mate. But I walked into that marriage thinking, you know, wow, I've done the work. This is going to be good. Well, relationships are mirrors. And it showed everything that I still hadn't worked on. But the fact that he's so non-judgmental, gives me such unconditional love, that he allowed me to evolve, because I become very defensive. You know, no man is going to control me ever again. And I remember my brother saying, "Don't make him pay for what has been done to you." And so that was when I had married a real man, a real loving man, and I had to learn to trust that his love was not going to hurt. And once I did that, he told me, he said, "I just need you to trust me. I won't hurt you." And I did. And we've been married 13 years in a wonderful, wonderful like I said, he's just a wonderful man. And sometimes I do. I look at him and I pinch myself. You know, how did this happen to me? But so it was just a good fit.
He gave you double trouble.
I mean, it's not a perfect. It's not picture perfect, but we can see clearly through the frame. You know.
Right. Right. And you know, that's what it's all about, too. And I'm surely your background also is, it's just amazing. All three of us are on this show tonight and doing this show, our lives just intertwine with one another. We just different people that have lived it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Because Shirley was in entertainment.
Oh, okay.
I'm still in entertainment.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, she just outdid us on marriages.
She outdid us on marriages.
Okay, funny. See, you know what I did, Angela, is that I was like, the first one failed, let me try it again.
Uh-huh.
And I tried, and I tried, and I tried, and I even retried, you know, said, wait a minute, let me see this, let me try this over a little bit more this way. And, you know, hey, the one thing you can say is that I'm not a quitter.
That's right.
I will try.
And Angela, she is such a phenomenal woman that she wrote a book about it. Tell about your
did
book,
Molly.
You?
Yeah, my book is called Inside the Mind of a Woman and the Soul of a Man.
All right.
And it deals with relationships. It really does, you know, because the dynamics of a relationship, and trust me, when you've had three husbands but four marriages,
mm-hmm.
you learn about relationships.
Yeah,
and
I'm sure.
But it didn't leave me bitter. Even
good,
though there
good.
Was domestic violence and substance mm-hmm. abuse and all of those other things involved in it,
mm-hmm.
because I know I'm one of those people that believe that God has someone for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no time on how long you should know someone.
Absolutely.
To say that that's not your soulmate. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, I had my trials and errors in thinking that, you know, this was my soulmate. And I only thought that with one, so I married him twice. But
you married him twice, okay.
I married him twice. I said, you know, maybe he is and maybe he isn't. But I knew that comfortable place was. And then some old things reminded me, no, he's still selfish. He's not there yet. He may not never be there. So, but I did know that I needed to be true to who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And in spite of what happened into the marriage and everything. And then as far as the entertainment piece, I still do entertainment, but not on the level that I used to.
Okay.
Because that road, I got tired of the road.
Yeah, yeah.
I got tired of all the stuff that came with the road,
mm-hmm.
dealing with some unscrupulous people, and you know. And I said, Ben, I didn't want it to change who I am.
Mm-hmm.
That person who was that wanted to help people,
yeah.
make people smile, bring joy, you know, and help them find their purpose. So I knew for me to continue, I have to pull back from the road and do it from a more of a stationary. So now I do special events.
Okay.
And things. Okay. And, you know, and I'm a cancer survivor.
Oh,
so
wow.
I do things with breast cancer survivors.
Wow. My mom is a 48-year breast cancer survivor.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. This is.
Yeah, she's 48 years.
She lives in Carolina, too?
She lives in Carolina, 5 minutes away from me. A little feisty, 81-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
You said
because
she's feisty?
To still wear high heels. Mm-hmm.
I love it. Yeah, we need to talk more off the air. So,
yeah, yeah. She's 48 years.
48?
Yeah,
that's
and now think back, chemo wasn't even invented then.
No, that's what I'm saying. Right. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she didn't have chemo. Her story is remarkable. Her story is she had a why. Her why was a compelling why. And when she tells it, sometimes she speaks for, you know, some for cancer survivors, and they just they're in awe because, number one, they haven't met anyone that's, you know, that survivor. Now, she's had a reoccurrence, not of breast cancer, but she had non-Hodgkin, what is it,
lymphoma.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And she had it about 10 years ago, and she was cancer-free, and it was in her hip. And then she had a reoccurrence last year in her throat, but it's all gone again. Because my mom says, you know, I'm not going anywhere. She said, I got stuff to do, life to live, and no, that's, and so she's, and I said, well, Mom, you can come off the heels. I mean, she's a snazzy dresser. She said, you're going to bury me in my heels. So she's a little feisty thing. And she said, she told the doctor when he told her 10 years ago that she had cancer, she said, you're not the first doctor to look me in my face and said I had cancer. She said, I lived then and I'll live now. She said, I will live. I shall live. And she did. And she is.
Praise God. Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Imagine if more of us had that no matter what attitude.
No matter what.
Mm-hmm. Through the currents and the obstacles that life mm-hmm. throws us, and just say, I'm not budging. I'm going to stay focused on my purpose, the plan mm-hmm. that God has mm-hmm. for my life. And, you know, really, that's the right place to be, because he does extend your life if you're on purpose.
She had a purpose, and she ran a hair salon for 38 years, and that's what she did in that salon. She has so many daughters all over the world that call her mom, because she's just, when you meet her, she's like everyone's mom. I mean, she really is. Now, she was born to be a mom. She definitely was. She's everybody's mom. They call her mom.
Wow. That is awesome.
You know, now that you say that your mom was born to be a mom, you mm-hmm. know, being that you've worked with young adults and women, mm-hmm. do you see where the transition took place, where they weren't just cut out for that? No matter how much you try to teach them and guide them, they're just not cut out.
I think you mean to be a mother,
to be a mother. Yeah.
I think what happens, I've seen that there are women that they can't seem to connect deeply, and that's because of whatever that barrier. You know, when we have these trauma, I mean, fatherlessness is a trauma. It's a trauma, and so when you have these traumas, whatever they you fragment. And so what has to happen is we've got to become whole again. And when we become whole, then we can open our hearts. And when we open our hearts, then we can give love and receive love. But what happens is when we fragment, we become defensive. And that defense line is real. It is really real. And if you can't bypass that defense line, then it keeps you emotionally and psychologically frozen, and your inability to truly allow love to come in and let it go out. And so that's what I found, that it's not so much that they're not designed for that. It's just that they haven't accessed their power. See, we create the space, then we access our power. And once we access our power, then we can unleash our greatest potential to shine in the world. But we've got to access that power of self-love.
Well, I was going to say, the access that power of self-love is not that easy, because they've been taught and trained to be unloving and not be loved. So
absolutely.
When they look in the mirror on a regular basis, it's like, you know, they see the inadequacies.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're taught it in church. I mean, we're taught it in church. I was taught that I was filthy rags. I mean, you know, I was taught that I was nothing without God, only that I was as filthy rags. And so when your spiritual base tells you that you're nothing, you're talking about transforming your belief system, you know, transforming that entire belief system. So, yeah, we think about what is fed to us early on. And so it's about,
I never,
going
I
back.
Never
yeah.
looked at it or connected it from the pulpit.
Oh yeah. For the pulpit lays it down. If I had to, mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many times I went to church and left whipped, whipped, because thinking that I was nothing until I realized that. And there is in the mind of God a perfect image of who I am. There is mm-hmm. in the mind of God a perfect image in who I am. And every now and then we get a little glimpse of it. You know, you walk by past that mirror, ladies, and you say, wow, girl, you know, you're a bad mama jamma. And then, but then you back up and you play small because you've been told, don't think highly of yourself. At least that's what the scripture says, don't think too highly of yourself. So then you shrink back and you dim down and you play small because you're comfortable there. But every now and then you get a glimpse of how powerful you are and how wonderful you are.
Every now
and it
then,
never
yeah.
goes mm-hmm. away because it's natural to your system. It's an undeletable mm-hmm. file. It's just like the ocean and the wave. And if the wave says out there that I'm just this little wave by myself, how powerful can I be? But if I claim for myself the power of the ocean, because you can't tell where the wave ends and the ocean begins, then I'm very powerful. So it's about downloading that perfect image that's in the mind of God of yourself and stepping in it and understanding that when you do fail, when you do mess up, you just remember who you are. Because when we
yes.
slip, it's just because we forgot who we are. And do we just remember and slip back in? You're not filthy rags. You're not, you can't think more highly of yourself because you are the highest. I mean, look what God did. He created the fish, and he pulled the fish out of the water that he created. He created the trees, and he pulled them out of the earth that he created. He created the airways, and he pulled the birds out of the air that he created. But when he created us, he pulled us out of himself. That's powerful.
Yeah,
and he breathed in us his very essence, his potential, his everything. And that's who we are when we take the stage and shine, take the stage on this planet and shine. We just have been asleep and haven't awakened unto the truth of who we are. And when we do, then we shine. And you can't, it's like magic. My son says it's like magic, Mom, and you can't turn off magic.
Mm. Mm. Amen to that.
Yes.
For those of you that just tuned in, I am talking with the phenomenal Angela Carr Patterson. She's an author, speaker, coach, trainer, you name it, she's done it. And Angela, you alluded to your book, I'm Not That Woman. Talk to me about Coffee Break.
Coffee Break is a, what Coffee Break is just a compilation of, you know, I blog, and I just basically blog every week to my community. And I took about 40 of my most popular ones that I got the most feedback on, and we put it in a book called Coffee Breaks, Moments of Inspiration, Daily Cups of Wisdom to Warm Your Heart. And after each one, each break, you have like you have day one, day two, and it gives you at the end an action task to take once you read that particular coffee break. And so so this is what we're that's a coffee break. It's like a 40-day journey to just shifting and changing your life onto a path of joy and abundance and happiness. And so it's a great book to read every day. You know how you do your daily bread? That's what coffee break is.
Mm-hmm.
Coffee Break is similar to that. And so we have, you know, the topics like The Real with a Real Woman, Please Stand Up, and Get Rid of the Chaos, You Can Have It All, What's Stealing Your Peace, What Are You Thinking, The Question That Changed My Life when my friend asked me, What Do You Want? I wrote one on What Do You Want? Because how many times do people ask you, What Do You Want?
Mm-hmm.
You really,
and
what
we don't
do you
know.
Want? And we don't know. Absolutely.
Well, from the excerpt of I Can Have It All, I'm interested in finding out what that is about. Can you give a little excerpt about that for our listening audience? Because one of the things when you're a mother, especially a single parent, let's just single parent, and you're working and you're trying to make ends meet and you're trying to have a date life, you trying to make sure your kids go off to college and stuff, and then, you know, in the midst of your doing, you get caught up and say, oh, how am I able to do all of this? So talk about I can have it all.
Well, what I have, it says there comes a time in our lives where we begin to think about how we want to live. We know inside that there is more to life than what we're currently experiencing, but we just cannot seem to identify it. There needs to be a decision on our part that there are things in our lives that we have the ability to change, and that these changes will give us a better life, simply put, a lifestyle. There's no shame in wanting to fine-tune our lives as we move forward and finding our true purpose. We really can have it all, can do and be anything we want in life. We hold the keys to our life, not in some abstract sense, but in real-time choices, actions that have predictable results that are beneficial to our future. That being said, this amazing discovery is not easily accomplished alone. It has been said that all successful people have mentors. The turning point in everyone's life is when your mentor arrives. I had to stop and take notice when my mentor arrived. I almost didn't recognize her, but when I did discover, I realized that there is no time to waste. Each moment is an opportunity to further myself, a chance to make a choice that was life-altering and life-changing. When my mentor arrived, my life changed forever. Now I'm paying it forward, doing the same for others. My passion is to see people live their lives bigger and better. You can have what you want. You can have what you believe. I hope to help people see themselves bigger and better. We all deserve to be happy. And one thing I am sure of, we all can be. And then the question is, what do you want? And you get to write. Mm. And you just write, what do you want? You know, when my girlfriend asked me, what do you want? I couldn't answer it. I sat there for minutes, and I just could not answer it because I was in a bad, broken place. She said, you know, where you are, you can't stay. What do you want? Didn't know, because for the first time in my life, someone asked me that question. I lived my entire life based on what was expected of me, what I was supposed to do, what they said I was supposed to do,
exactly.
But not what I wanted, you know? And that was freedom for me. That was my defining moment. I was willing to let go of who I was and step into my most powerful space and become who I was born to be. And who I am today is not perfect. There's no expiration date on personal growth and expansion. It's an ongoing journey. It's an ongoing journey. Every single day I have to ask myself, you know, who shall I be today? Who will I be today? And make the decision to be who that is. One thing for sure, I'm not that woman, that other woman that I used to be.
You're not that other woman.
I'm not that woman. I'm a brand new me and a brand new destiny. I'm not that woman. And sometimes I have to remind my children, look, I'm not that woman. I'm not. Sometimes I have to remind my husband, look, I'm not that woman. And then I have to remind myself, I'm not that woman, you know.
Well, Angela, how can people connect with you and order your products?
They can go to my website, which is AngelaCarrPatterson.com, and that's Carr with two R's, AngelaCarrPatterson.com. And if you want to learn more about the Fatherless Daughters Network, go to FatherlessDaughters.net. And you can find me on Facebook, X Angela Carr Patterson. I'm on Twitter, A. Carr Patterson. So I'm a little bit everywhere.
And I didn't realize we were friends on Facebook.
Yeah, we're friends on Facebook.
Yeah, when I went to add you as my friend, we were already friends. And I was like,
isn't
where's
that
she
been? Isn't that something?
Where's she
that
been?
Where have you been all my life, Valerie?
Oh.
Where have you been?
living life like it's golden.
No, that's right.
Just getting there, and like I said, you know, when we for the moment we connected, it was like I was having so many aha moments, and you know, just seeing a mirror of my life and knowing that, you know, this life that I live is not obsolete. That there are the queens out there that are pressing forward and doing greater and even mightier things. And not only for you and I and Shirley, but those that are listening in to the sound of my voice, you can live your best life. It's time to wake up. It's 2016. Shake yourself, you know, and get up there, wash your face, brush your teeth, like I always tell the folks, and get to stepping.
That's right. That's
because
right.
Life is, if you don't show up, life will show up on you. So it's best to get up and start moving and start afresh and know that you can't redeem time. You can't buy it back. It's already gone. It's already done. You cannot change or go in reverse. Only thing you can do is move forward. So in closing, Angela, we have about 5 minutes. If you want to share some closing remarks and also give your information again on how people can connect with you, and we will connect visually real soon. I can feel it in the spirit.
I believe that. Thank you so much, Shirley and Valerie, for having me to share this time with you and share this space together. I don't think it was by accident. I know it's been by divine appointment, and I can sense that there are going to be some more divine appointments between the three of us. And
we're
going to remain open and allow it to unfold naturally. But what I want to say, if there's anything I can say, is that for the women, I have declared that this year is the year of the awakened woman, the woman who is willing and ready to step into her power, to awaken unto her truth, and not just for her sake, but to collaborate and cooperate with other women, because only when women are strong together can we be fiercely protective of what we love, and only will our children be safe and peace be a real possibility for us. And so if anything I want to say is about women, let's begin to gather. When women gather, we share information about what has worked. We find role models. We find mentors. We find allies. We find solutions and ideas. Maybe not the best solution, maybe not the best ideas, but at least somewhere. We can start somewhere. We can sit under the tree, and we create a sisterhood, one that where I not just stand with my sister, but I stand for her when she can't stand for herself, that I'm willing to call her on her BS when she needs to be called on it, and I'm willing to walk arm in arm. I'm not my sister keeper. I am my sister. And when we do that, this won't be heard by women who are selfish or are not awakened, but it will be heard by the women who are ready to come together to protect that which we love, so that our children can continue to be safe, our grandchildren can be safe, and peace be a real possibility for us all. That's my hope. That's my dream. That's what I hold in my intentions for. People ask me, what's my New Year's resolution? It's the same as it always been, to bring my bundles to the planet, to uplift, to ignite, to love, to contribute, to empower, and to inspire, and to heal. And so I think that when we focus on that, then we can be a driving force. We can do the unthinkable. What once was not done and once was not believed or unthinkable will then become what most people accept as a reality. And I believe we can do that.
Amen, and yes, we can.
Amen.
And the words of Marion Williams, and our deepest fear is not that we're inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are more powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous,
talented, yes, and fabulous. Mm. Actually, who are we not to be? You are a child of God. And I,
yes,
thank you once again for showing up and giving such a powerful testimony and encouraging our listeners, Angela. And I look forward to seeing you in this new year.
Yes.
And Shirley, the best is yet to come.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I'm just so grateful to have, you know, to see this new year and excited about it as well. And what a way to start the year. Angela, thank you so much. And
thank
we
you.
Will, I will, you know, we will be in contact with you. Definitely, I am excited about your 81-year-old mother. I mean, the
yes.
apple didn't fall far from the tree. I would have to tell you that.
You
know, I haven't met her, but I have met her through you. And with you and what you bring forth is an example of what she gave you. And
yeah.
to hear that she's 81 and wearing her heels, she's a woman after my own heart.
Thank you. Thank you, Shirley. And thank you, yeah. Valerie. Love to both of you.
Yeah,
all right,
you too.
My queen. Peace and blessings. We're off the air.
Bye-bye. So great to talk to you. Bye-bye, ladies.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Okay.